month and a half or so, I've been kind of going in a direction of just preaching on a book of the Old Testament. But we started out with the book of Malachi. I really wasn't sure about going in this direction, but then we did the book of Ruth, and then last Sunday evening, the book of Judges. I thought, well, I'll just keep going in this direction, so I chose Jonah next. And I may do one more lesson on Jonah, and then we'll do probably, I plan on doing Nahum, because Nahum also was a prophet that went to Nineveh, not just Jonah. So I think anyway, we'll see. You have some notes in front of you. You're going to read the book together, as we did with the book of Ruth. Jonah is going to the capital city of Assyria, Nineveh. Capital city. Jonah, obviously, you remember the story, didn't want to go. We're not sure of all the reasons. Perhaps knowing that the Assyrians were the bitter enemies of Israel, he probably thought, well, if God's going to destroy them, let him go ahead. I'm not going to go and preach to them and have them spared. Then they'll remain our enemies. So maybe he's thinking along that line, if I don't go, God will take care of it for me. Maybe he's thinking just in a fleshly manner, you know, I'm not sure what kind of reception I'm going to get. They may kill me. Or it's a long physical journey, not an easy trip, so I'm not sure what all the motivation is for Jonah deciding not to go. But here's the story that you're very familiar with. The book of Jonah. After Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, oh, by the way, I've chosen the book from the pew to read from the New King James Version, so if you use the Bible in the pew, you follow along with it. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, and go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. Some people think that Tarshish is probably a city as far away as Spain, at the end of the Mediterranean Sea. So verse 3, so he paid the fare, went down into it, the ship, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But, verse 4, there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid. Every man cried out to his God, threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down, was fast asleep. So the captain came to him, said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish. They've already cried out to their own God. Verse 7. Well, they said to one another, come, let's cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? And of what people are you? So he said to them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. That's the one I'm running from. So verse 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, said to him, why have you done this? The men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Wow. I'm not sure I would have said that. You know, there's some great fish in that sea. So verse 13, the men, oh, they didn't want to. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not. For the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Verse 17. So now Jonah's in the sea. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then, chapter 2, verse 1. So then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. He said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. You heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. Well, that's pretty deep. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I've owed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Wow. Now the next chapter. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Jonah's not going to make up his own lesson. So in verse 3, Jonah went, or arose, and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Nineveh was an exceeding great city, three-day journey. Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. He cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5, I'm sure that wasn't all he said. Must have been more to his lesson. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Wow. The beasts and the flocks are probably saying, what did we do? I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I don't get anything to eat or drink? Why am I covered with sackcloth and that? Still in the middle of verse 8. So yes, let everyone turn from from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent, turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works. They turned from their evil way. God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So now you get Jonah's response to a successful sermon. Got the response that God wanted. So verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Displeased Jonah exceedingly, became angry. He prayed to the Lord, said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, well, even to the enemies of Israel, to a world of people, God cares. One who relents from doing harm." Verse 3, chapter 4. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. Better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. There he made a shelter and sat under it in the shade, that he might see what would become of the city. Verse 6. The Lord God prepared a plant, made it to come up over him, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm so that it damaged the plant, that it withered. When the sun arose, God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself again. He said, "It's better for me to die than to live." Now God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Is it right for me to be," and he said, "Is it right for me to be angry even to death?" But the Lord said back and forth, "You had pity on the plant for which you have not labored. You didn't make it grow, which came up in a night, perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Wow. So, very, very familiar story. But just notes that I put just kind of in review. It's interesting, I should have asked you to kind of, well, you can see the notes, but look, as I was reading, just notice how many times God prepared something, or God sent, or God did in this four-chapter story. God's influence, not only in the life of his servants, but the people in the sailors, and then the people of Nineveh. So just put the revealing power of God here. Those, number one, just in review, God's omnipresence, you know, everywhere present. You know, Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Remember that lesson they gave, I don't know how many months ago. Remember, people thought that God was located, that God was only a God of their land. So they thought if they leave their land and cross the bounds, go outside the boundaries of their land, they leave their God that was there. In 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 23, Israel fought the Philistines, and the Philistines lost the battle. There was a battle in the hills. And so they said, "Oh, their God must be a God of the hills and not of the valleys. Let's call him down and fight in the valleys." So they called Israel down, the Israel and Philistines fought, and Israel won again. So God is the God of the hills and the valleys. Remember when Naaman was healed of his leprosy? And he went back to Elisha the prophet and said, let me pay you. And Elisha said, no, don't pay me. I brought all this treasure. No, don't pay me. So, but Naaman said, well, but let me ask you one thing. Can I have 2 mules, bags of dirt? Why did Naaman want Israel's dirt? So he could take Israel's God back to Syria. He said, then now that I have your dirt, I will sacrifice to your God. So now I have your dirt. Remember when Ruth, who was a Moabite, and the husband died, and the husbands of Naomi and the two daughters-in-law. And Ruth said, you know what? Where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. In other words, I'm going to leave my God and take your God, because people had the idea back then that you could flee from the presence of the Lord. God gave me a commandment here. All I have to do is go across the boundary into another country. Now I don't have to do what God said. I think sometimes brethren think that. if I can just move to another state, I won't have to fulfill my obligation to God, because God gave me the commandment back here, and now I'm up over here. I don't have to right the wrong that I did over here, because now I'm over there. So, but God is everywhere. Number two, God's power over the elements. Sent out a great wind in chapter 1. In chapter 4, he did it again. The sun rose. God prepared a vehement east wind. Power over the elements. Over the animals. Verse 17 of chapter 1, this great fish. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. People always wondered, people can't live inside a fish, but they overlook that phrase. God prepared a great fish. Now, I really don't care what kind of fish you make of that. Some translations say a whale, but some people want to say, it's probably a man-eating shark or something. But I don't know. But anyway, God provided a studio apartment for Jonah with a blowhole for a skylight. You know, I'm not sure what the accommodations were for Jonah inside there, but he could live for 3 days. And he could, God did it. Power over the animals. Then the Lord spoke to the fish. It vomited Jonah onto dry land. Wow, that had to be a sight. I don't know how close to land he was, but, just like out of a cannon in a carnival. There you go. Now, I probably thought, if I was Jonah, spit me out into the sea so I can kind of wash up a little bit. Before I get out and either shower, probably. Deal on number three, power over the animals. As morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. A worm. That worm would put the fear of God in me. If God just grew a plant that gave me shade, and then just overnight prepared a worm to eat that plant or make it wither. Then number four, the power of God in the preaching of His word. Preach the message that I tell you, and then the people of God, or the people of Nineveh, believe. And that was the prophecy or the saying of Isaiah. My word shall not return unto me void. It'll do what I said it would do. Accomplish what I please. Prosper the thing for which I sent. Over plants, made that plant to come up over Jonah, provide shade. Then the last one I put in your notes, just kind of another, just revealing God's care and concern. Number one, God's anger displeased with wickedness. He'll cry against that city. Their wickedness has come up before me. Number two, God can hear our prayers no matter where we are. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. No matter where you are, you don't have to go to a certain place to pray or present yourself before an image to pray. Anywhere. God cares about His creation. Should I not pity Nineveh? Shouldn't I pity Nineveh? Wait a minute, Clarence just gave that lesson on the Assyrians a couple Wednesday nights ago, and he told 15 or 20 minutes, just told about how, gave that video on how wretched the Assyrians are, how horrible the people of war and what the atrocities they did to their enemies. Shouldn't I pity Nineveh, the Assyrians? Nineveh was known as the bloody city. Not because of blood there, but because they were a people of blood. Wow. Shouldn't I pity Nineveh? Matthew, Jesus spoke about the sparrows. Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. God knows. Well, I think one lesson from the story of Jonah is just the almightiness of God in the story. I'm thinking next week I still want to take a lesson on Jonah, just to bring home some lessons for you and me. And make it, it's nice. Oh, what's all those wonderful things about God? Well, that's good, but let's bring it home. Well, next Sunday evening, Lord willing, we'll give a final summary of Jonah and the obligation that God placed on us. Always, we say when we assemble together for worship, at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. And I know everyone here is already a member, so we just might take some time and at the close of a song and just ask for if there's any prayer requests, anything on your mind that you need to share, you want us to pray about. So, but let's stand together and sing the song that does that collectively.